It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to our final teaching on the book of 1 John. Chapter 5 today we start with, and verse 1 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him." You see, Christianity is not just a religion, it's a relationship with our Creator. John brings out that there's a new birth involved. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, they're born of God. John's bringing out here this concept of being born again. Verse 2, he said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments." Now, all through the book of 1 John, John is connecting that our love for the Father should be extended to our love for our fellow man. A practical test for genuine love is our love for others. True love for God's children is demonstrating our true love for God, and we obey his commands. This is a call to live out our faith with our actions. Who would ever think that the way we love other people is actually a demonstration of God's love? But John reminds us of this. You love others because God first loved you. I believe only through the grace of God and his love are we able to really love those who are unlovable in our society. People that rub you the wrong way. People that irritate you. In verse 3, John said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." Remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden, it's light." Verse 4, John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." One translation says, "even our faith." Did you know, friend, that God made you to be an overcomer? I love that title. You find it in the book of Revelation when he's writing to the seven churches. He speaks about the overcomer. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, friend, that's how you and I are overcomers today, by the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the testimony, which is our faith speaking it out. In verse 5, John goes on and he says, "Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" John is making sure we understand that the essential heart of the gospel is us truly believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one who overcame the world, friend, and our faith in him causes us to be overcomers as well. John speaks of believing, not just in the intellectual sense, but life-changing belief, where your life changes because of your faith in Jesus Christ. We're not defined by the challenges the world throws at us, but by the victory we have in Jesus. We hold fast to that faith and we trust in God's promises and we live as overcomers, knowing that through Christ, we've already won the victory. Now we come to verse 6, which is probably the most confusing verse in this book of 1 John, but I believe you'll understand after we share it. "This is the one," speaking of Jesus, "who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood." I believe when John writes this, he's talking about that Jesus came in the flesh. He had a birth of water. When a woman goes into labor, there is a breaking of the water and it causes her to give birth. Jesus came in the flesh. The Gnostics did not believe that. They said that there's no way Jesus could be born in the flesh because that would be corrupt and all this world nature is corrupt. And John's bringing the fact that he was born by blood, which was the blood from God. He had the blood of God in him because he was God, but he also had the water. He was born from Mary, from her womb, and he came as Son of Man and Son of God. And I believe that's what John is talking about here. Jesus was both Son of Man, born of water and Son of God, with the blood of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. John goes on and says, it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. You'll notice here this, the word Spirit is capitalized. He's not referring to our human spirit here. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Verse 7, he says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. This same principle is borne out in John chapter 3 and verse 5 in the Gospel of John. And that's when Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when he speaks there of born of water, he's not talking about water baptism, because water baptism doesn't save you. It's a symbol and a sign to the world of the new birth. We're born of the water. That's when a woman's water breaks and she goes into physical labor, and we're born into the world. And then we're born of the Spirit, which is the new birth. John tells us it's the Spirit that testifies. See, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, I believe it was, he said, he'll testify of me. So the Spirit, the water, and the blood are all three consistent. They're witnesses testifying of Jesus, telling who he is. They agree. Now in verse 8, John goes on and says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. Human testimony is wonderful, but the ultimate testimony of God is the greatest. Remember Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the river of Jordan. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from the heavens, and God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we have both the witness of man and now the witness of God that Jesus is Messiah. John goes on in verse 10 and he says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. See, you and I have the Holy Spirit within us. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and reside in you. And he testifies in our heart, witnesses in our heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 11, he says, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You see, that's the testimony in our hearts today, that we have eternal life. Verse 12 really makes it simple. He says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Now, John, who's writing this book to us, also wrote the Gospel of John. Did you ever wonder why there are four Gospels? Each of the four Gospels present Jesus in a different way. Matthew presented him as the King of the Jews. He went into great detail to show that Jesus was the Messiah for the Jews. Mark, he goes into great detail to show that Jesus was the suffering servant. Luke, he presented Jesus as Son of Man. But John, his whole purpose in writing the Gospel of John was to show, besides the fact that God anointed him to write the Gospel, but his Gospel was written to show that Jesus was God. And so now in verse 13, look what John says here in 1 John 5. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, John goes into great detail to show that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, he began his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now John's writing here, and he says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know, friend, that you can be positively, 100%, absolutely, definitively sure that you are going to heaven. So many people think we're going to have eternal life when we die. No, friend, I have eternal life right now. John said, that's the whole purpose. I've written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. There's something inside of us that testifies in our heart and says, hey, man, you're alive. And not just alive, you're alive for all eternity because God resides in you and you have believed on the name of Jesus for salvation. He says in verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What a great verse. This is another one of those verses we've heard about for years, but now you catch it in context of which it was written. John says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It kind of makes me think that sometimes we're just asking for silly things that are not the will of God, and we know they're not the will of God, and it's almost like God has to plug his ears. He's like, I don't hear that. La, 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 la. Now, some of you are looking at your radio like, has Keith gone off the deep end? No, that's what he's saying here. We have this confidence. We know he hears us when we ask anything according to his will. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. See, Mark 11, verse 23, 24, it tells us in there that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and you shall have it. You have to believe by faith that you have something before you ever receive it from God. That's what faith is, friend. It's believing before you ever receive. Now let's wind this up today, this wonderful epistle of 1 John. Verse 16, John gets very serious. He says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not leading to death. Now, what on earth is John talking about there? Once we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all our sins, past, present, and future, are nailed to the cross and forgiven by him. The only thing God cannot forgive is when we refuse to accept him as our atonement and our sacrifice and our forgiveness. John says in verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now that might really scare you. You're like, I know I'm born of God, but that verse just told me that I don't sin. Well, remember, sin means to miss the mark. Jesus forgave all your sins, past, present, and future. You no longer miss the mark. We still fail. We still make mistakes, but it's not that sin that leads to death. He says in verse 19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. Wow, I didn't think I could get it all in today, but we just finished the book of 1 John. What an amazing passage of scripture. I hope you have really gleaned some understanding from these truly great verses. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. I'd love to hear from you this week. Tell me what station you're listening to the program on, or if you listen on Facebook or one of the podcast formats. Drop me a note. Go by weneedgod.com. Have a great day. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.